WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. The White House is out with a new report. It finds Israel's use of American-supplied arms does not violate international or U.S. laws in Gaza. But the report is also highly critical of some of the IDF actions in the war against Hamas. Former President Trump's New York hush money trial is in recess until Monday. ABC's Aaron Katursky with today's proceedings.
I'll tell you, former President Trump spent most of the day not listening a whole lot to these custodial witnesses. You saw he came out with a stack of papers. He was very busy all during the trial today, marking up those papers, perhaps preparing what he wanted to highlight in his hallway remarks.
Mr. Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, who wrote the checks to adult actress Stormy Daniels, is expected to testify next week. Stocks closed mostly higher to end the week. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Power companies building a high-voltage power line linking Iowa and Wisconsin completed a land deal to build part of the line through a fish and wildlife refuge in Grant County. Conservation groups sued to try to stop the crossing, but a federal appeals court overturned a lower court ruling blocking the project earlier this week. Ballot drop boxes may reopen in Wisconsin this year. The state Supreme Court hears oral arguments Monday. Drop box opponents say they're vehicles for voter fraud. Brenna Godar is a voting expert with the University of Wisconsin Law School.
And we just haven't seen that borne out. There have been surveys and studies that drop boxes were not tampered with or interfered with in this way that would affect the election.
Godar speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Multiple injuries were reported in a two-vehicle crash in Vernon County. Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports the crash occurred Wednesday around noon at the intersection of U.S. Highway 14 and Brinkman Ridge Road, rural Coon Valley, in the town of Hamburg. Sarah L. Liso, 41, of Coon Valley, was traveling west on 14 and collided with the rear of a pickup truck driven by Samuel C. Hansen, 64, of rural Stoddard. Hansen was stopped on the roadway waiting for eastbound traffic to clear, preparing to make a left turn onto Brinkman Ridge Road. Sarah Liso was extricated from her vehicle by the Coon Valley Fire Department. Both Liso and Hansen were transported to Gunderson Health System in La Crosse by Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance. The DMV has two new license plates available, suicide prevention and spay neuter adopt plates. Costing $25, this donation is actually tax deductible. Specifically, these two options will support the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Fixes Inn Incorporated. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers blanked the Cardinals ace. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cards 7-1. St. Louis starter and Cy Young winner Sonny Gray giving up home runs to the Brewers' Rhys Hoskins, Jake Bowers, and third baseman Joey Ortiz, manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, Sonny's arguably in the last nine starts, he's given up two runs or less, arguably a top-tier pitcher in the league, and I thought, you know, we had the best approach we've ever had against. I've seen him pitch against us many times. We had a great approach. We really did.
The Brewers now have a six-game winning streak against St. Louis dating back to last season. NBA, the Bucks' Pat Beverly will serve a four-game suspension next season for throwing a basketball at a heckling Pacers fan, then refusing to take questions from a female ESPN reporter. Did Doc Rivers confront Beverly?
Yeah, I did. I did right away because that's not the Milwaukee way or the Bucks way. We're better than that. Pat feels awful about that, and he let the emotions get the better of him.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms tonight, mostly clear, a little breezy, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, nice day, high in the low 70s. Sunshine to start Sunday, then increasing clouds for the afternoon, chance of storms late. Highs all the way up to the low 80s. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look back at what happened news-wise over the weekend, update you on the Trumpster trials, what's ahead for Joe Biden, and much more for this week on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Educators amplified in the house. Teacher Hallie is here.
That's right.
Teacher Hallie, Johnny and I have been celebrating and putting out, you know, lots of wishes of gratitude to all of the teachers because this is Teacher Appreciation Week. We have been, you know, putting out there our favorite teachers and things they've done for us. And I just wanted to say one of my favorite teachers, and Teacher Hallie, we're going to put you on the spot. You got to put out a little gratitude to one of your favorite teachers. My favorite teacher was my kindergarten teacher. Her name was Mrs. Slecker. Yes, she was my aunt. My aunt was my kindergarten teacher. And to make things even better, when my aunt was sick, Mrs. Slecker was the substitute, that being my mom. My mom and my aunt. Yes, I grew up in a little town in an elementary school that from kindergarten through fifth grade, whenever my teachers were absent, I had my mom as the substitute teacher. And so my gratitude goes out to my mom and to my aunt for being awesome teachers when I was growing up in elementary school there. So how's that for a little interesting tidbit of information?
Wow, that's really cute. Did you like it? Or were you like, mom?
Oh, it's a weird thing, right? To have your mom show up as teacher. I mean, maybe you don't, nobody would really know that if their mom has never showed up for teacher, but yeah. When she shows up, you know, and it's like, what do I call you? Do I call you mom? Do I call you Mrs. Slecker? And I remember one time we were having a discussion on what foods taste sour. And I had just tried cottage cheese and I thought that cottage cheese was sour. And my mom told me that I had to quit participating because nobody else wanted to hear about cottage cheese anymore. So I know she shut me down. She's like, now, Timmy, cottage cheese. We do not need to talk about cottage cheese anymore. Anyway, Mrs. Slecker, gratitude, appreciation to those awesome teachers out there. Teacher Hallie, how about you? And then we'll save Dr. Johnny Lupinacci for last tonight.
Well, I have two.
Okay.
My first one would be, now she's my homegirl. Oh my God. Both of my teachers are homegirls. That's cool. So one of them was legitimately my elementary. So from kindergarten through fifth grade, my art teacher, Mrs. McBride. And I think it was art and I really connect with art and really enjoyed it. Still do, you know, like the creativity, but I really like, there's just things that I remember from her class, from like itty bitty, you know, and so that to me makes an impression. And then two, now she's like my homegirl. Like we both still live in the same town. We're both fighting against these I call them jabronis that are school board. And so it's nice to be like in partnership with Mrs. McBride now. And she actually teaches art. She's retired, but she comes to my house and teaches art to my children now. So shout out to Mrs. McBride. And then my second one, seriously, this is serious. I'm not just like kissing butt, is Mrs. Rosato. Yes. And she's nice. Also my homegirl. But she's more from the lens of, as an educator myself, being able to co-teach with her. It was the most like authentic, real training, I guess, I could have ever gotten teaching alongside someone for 10 plus years with her. I mean, her ability to work with students, any student, her ability to talk with parents, her ability to like flex, adapt. She's just so inspirational and knows so much about education that, I mean, I learned so much about the craft of teaching by being able to work with her. So those are my two teacher shout outs.
Teacher Joanna. All right, Johnny Lupinacci. Yeah. Who you been saving for today?
What, Tim, you know what? I'm kind of caught in between because, you know what, unfortunately, this is why Teacher Appreciation Week is so, kind of important. I'm glad we're doing this. Is I'm trying to scroll through, and I don't have a whole lot of teachers that were great. That's kind of a problem, too. I mean, I have some that stood out, and I've named them, and I can think, like, oh, I'd like to acknowledge, you know, Mr. Nesbitt. He was a really cool teacher I had in his art class and, you know, helped me identify as an artist in, you know, my high school years. But nothing against it, but his style of teaching really wasn't influential or impactful. He just kind of was there helping support me in an identity moment in my life. Other than that, I had a lot of bad teachers. I don't want to dwell on this. I'm like scrolling through, I want to say I acknowledge all of these people that I get to teach right now, especially this current group of MIT Masters in Teaching students that are all inspiring because they were working through today the tensions they have and the way that their classrooms they were in were run. Not that they were bad, but like how they want to run their classroom, like how they like how they're going to develop their unique teacher identity. And so they were really inspiring today because I think we know a lot more about what it takes to become a good teacher. And some of us, we didn't have teachers who had that background, who had that time and intentionality to understand behavior was a form of communication and that you can be disciplinary without being punishing. I had a lot of punishment. I mean, I was thinking, Tim, man, if my mom was in school almost every day, but it wasn't because she was volunteering or the teacher. It was because they were like, if this boy's allowed back in the building, his mom's got to be with them. So I didn't have the greatest experience with classrooms, but acknowledging that there are people who are really putting in work because, like Teacher Hallie said, it's a craft. And, you know, you got to really learn it and you got to feel it and you got to kind of find your groove in it. And there's a science to it, too. So there's like any good art and craft, there are skills you learn. And I wish that I had had teachers like the teachers I get to teach. And I won't take credit for them being who they are. I mean, there really is a particular disposition that I feel like for a while you became a teacher because you wanted to control kids. And I hope that era is gone because really, you know, the gig's out of the bag. You can't win that battle. So hopefully you figure out a way to vibe with. And, you know, I was just thinking about all these educators who find patience and, you know, bring discipline to their teaching around acknowledging children as human beings, as having children's rights, as having, you know, voice and agency, also needing guidance. But, you know, I come back to that thinking about it. So I acknowledge all you teachers out there and appreciate you who are doing that work because I know it's hard because trust me, I saw the short end of patience from a lot of teachers in my come up. So I'll be a little better about thinking of teachers I want to acknowledge. But in general, if you're out there and you care about children and you really care about children, not just your own or the ones that are behaving nicely in their seat, but all of them. Then I appreciate you, and I hope more folks out there can come to that for the children of this their state, this country, you know, and ultimately our world.
Teacher Appreciation Week, Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. The number is 855 752-4842. Teacher Hallie in the house. Teacher Joanna off tonight doing that union work that is so important. And hey, Hallie, it was so good to see you last week in Madison, Wisconsin at the Minocqua Brewery. You know what's so cool about the Minocqua Brewery? Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And yeah, there it is, Johnny Lupinacci, if you're watching on the YouTube, the Facebook, or actually watching the feed on Twitter, well, or X, I hate that X. You just saw one of those awesome beer glasses. But yeah, hanging out in Madison, Wisconsin last week, it was great to see Teacher Hallie, great to see Teacher Joanna, Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slicker, all four of us together in the same space. And yeah, so it is, though, it's Teacher Appreciation Week, and we say make sure that everybody out there, you have some teacher out there. Even though Johnny Lupinacci doesn't remember that many, everybody has at least one teacher that deserves appreciation, gratitude. So put it out there. Make sure that they understand that. And again, too, don't send them like an apple or something like
that. Okay, I was going to say, I have a love-hate with Teacher Appreciation Week. Like, I'm happy to participate. I'm happy to do a shout out for teachers, but I am like, really? Really? And maybe I sound like, I don't mean to sound like I don't want to be appreciated, but I am like, the working conditions are so bad. And do you know what would change that would be if people were different in our government. And so I need people to go out and vote for pro public school, you know, like policies and legislation. And that to me shows me appreciation.
Nice. There we go. Right there. You want to appreciate teachers right there. Yeah. Politicians, make sure they hear your voices out there. And actually, too, make things better for teachers for public schools. We do. We talk about that. You know, it's those who can, they actually teach. Those who can't pass laws about teaching. And we need that to stop. But, you know, no more people making laws about teaching who don't know what they're doing. Or maybe actually do know what they're doing and making the lives of teachers miserable. Yeah, I know, Hallie, that kind of love hate with the teacher appreciation. You're like, okay, really? 1 week of the year, people are going to just send me candy and apples. Yeah. And
man, where did I teach? I didn't get none of this stuff.
What?
Well, I mean, you're correct. In high school, as a high school teacher, like, not getting much, but the elementary schools that my kids go to, I'm like, dang, you would think like, you know, I don't know. I think it's 5 days nice
of your birthday up in them schools, huh?
Right. But I'm like, a free lunch and all these gifts does not change that the teacher hasn't had a potty break, that the teacher has been,
you know, show up
time and energy into letting people know what's up and get them to vote for something better.
Yeah. True teacher appreciation, showing up with a port-a-john to put in that in their classroom so they can get quickly. Oh, yeah. Teacher Appreciation Week. Busted Pencils. We are busting pencils, though. It's fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842 is the number to give us a call. Moving on to Teacher Appreciation Week. And next, we're going to go into where, you know, sometimes we don't like to go, but it happened again. School shooting, a little bit different this time, and in the state of Wisconsin last week. Mm-hmm. Lots of details we're going to go over, try to make sense of this. Busted Pencils, check you out next.
News from the center, WRCE.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I hate when pollution burns my tongue. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking. Education, well, it happened again. This time, Wisconsin, a little town called Mount Horeb, actually, too, about 10 miles outside of the town I lived there for the 9 years when I was living in Wisconsin, used to go up to Mount Horeb quite often because it's a great little quaint town, small town, and awesome schools. And I had, you know, worked with some teachers. In fact, some of the students that graduated from Edgewood College when I was there actually ended up working at Mount Horeb. So, but Hallie, you know, the details and Johnny of this one is that, so it wasn't really a school shooting that occurred because what happened was a middle school student showed up with what appeared to be at the time a rifle with a scope on it. The authorities were called, police came, and according to the reports, the student potentially pointed the gun at the officers and the officers shot and killed the student. It ended up being an eighth grade student from Mount Horeb Middle School who brought the, what it was at least looked at like a firearm, but we later found out was a pellet gun that could be purchased easily on Amazon. The perspective though, too, what we've said, you know, there's always somebody who has, you know, well, what was happening. And I put out there for the promotion, I'm like, yes, it's the guns. Maybe it's the guns. We know this problem. But Hallie, thinking about this, you know, from the teacher's standpoint, how do you react or how did you react when you saw this news?
Right. You know, I don't even know where to start with all my thoughts. They're kind of like really jumbled and all over because I do, you know, respect, or like, I want to offer respect to the people who went through this, that family of a boy who's dead right now in as an eighth grader, you know, that entire community. And like, but my first thing I do think about is how easily I can actually comprehend an eighth grader bringing like a pellet gun that looks like a rifle to school. Like, and I know that sounds really bizarre, but I'm like, I've had students who have brought things that they're not supposed to bring to school. You know, maybe it's a pocket knife. Maybe it's a, you know what I mean? Like maybe they carved out like a really sharp, you know, weapon out of a stick or like log that they found. Like, that has happened, I feel like, my entire career. And to me, that's not like, see, kids are bad. That's more like, to me, it's a cry for attention. It's a cry for something's not right. I don't feel connected. But like an eighth grader's literal brain doesn't have that prefrontal cortex, that logic to be like, this might be a bad idea. You know, like it doesn't exist. And I feel like in our society, we're so gun happy that like, then it just becomes into like, this is cool in their non-logical mind. So I start off there where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can think of students who've, I've had to have those conversations, or even down to like bringing drugs to school. Like kids do that. And the way that this child was approached is to be shot and killed. Like that part to me, I think we need to give space for that situation, that family. Like, I can't believe they've released his name. I mean, he's in eighth grade. That's like, what, 14 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I just, that there's a sadness in that. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I can order like a fly off outfit from Amazon, he can order a pellet gun that looks like an AR-15 rifle. You know what I mean? Like, like that just blows my mind. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, and yes, of course, I would be like, yep, this could happen.
What could happen, and we heard this too, a couple of the, you know, little comments from the teachers that I've read in the press is that, kind of like you said, Hallie, it's not surprising, right. Which I wonder with that, though, too, not surprising if this is where we are with the whole guns in schools, school shootings, is that, yeah, it's sadly not surprising, school shooting. Again, the details of this are troubling because it's an eighth grader who brought what was probably a non-lethal firearm to school. We don't know why, but the ability to get something like that and then show up. And then again, yeah, the potential of saying, you know, was deadly force the absolute necessary means to create, you know, a safer situation? How do students go back to school after this? How do eighth mm-hmm. graders adjust? Johnny Lupinacci, just, you know, thinking about this, how do you, you know, think, you know, when you're working with future teachers, do you talk to them about the whole idea of school shootings and what they might want to do and how they might want to, or do we just kind of leave that alone until, you know, we have to talk about it?
I think it's changed, Tim. I think when I was becoming a teacher, and then for a really long time in the beginning of teaching teachers, it was probably more or less, well, it depends on what course I was working on with teachers. You know, some of the like socioeconomic factors and like the more political context of teaching, you know, Columbine had just happened. And so there was a lot of discussion around like, are we paying attention to kids or are we just, you know, like holding on and hoping they don't do these kinds of things. And maybe this is an anomaly. Here we are, you know, several decades later, and it is something we have to teach about, but you also have to really understand that it shouldn't be like this. And it is 100% legislative irresponsibility that we're in this context. So we teach about that, but the reality is it's no longer hoping that there isn't a school shooting in your school or district, especially for our admins. It's about like when it happens in your school or district, especially lockdowns. And so this is a tough one. I know when I started hearing about it after we were there, right when it happened, Tim, and then mm-hmm. some of the details unfold. You know, I just feel like it's never good and easy to, it's never an easy topic to talk about school shootings, but yeah, we have to talk about it. We have to teach about it. And I also think within the broader context and similar to how Teacher Hallie framed Teacher Appreciation Week, I mean, if we really don't want this to happen, there are all kinds of preventative ways, because I really feel like I want to say 30, 40 years ago, a kid doing what this eighth grader did probably wouldn't have ended up dead. Now, sadly, I got to say, it depends on the color of that kid's skin, because black and brown kids been getting shot by the police, especially for, you know, pulling their cell phone out of their pocket or looking suspicious, right? In a park, not even at a school. So the gathering the facts around this, I don't want to say, oh, well, I can see how this happened, but I can 100% see how this could happen at any school. Mm-hmm. You're a listener out there, this can happen in any neighborhood. And and we've gotten to this point where we're literally, and no pun intended, and it's sick to even say this, we're trigger happy around guns and shootings, and I'm shocked. I got to do some research because I'm not a gun nut. I don't know. I'm not an enthusiast. I don't know. I mean, can't we tell what's a fake gun and not a real gun?
I don't know. Hey, can we tell? Give us a call. 855-752-4842. Let us know. Can guns be distinguished between fake and real?
Not that that's a teacher's responsibility, but now I'm pointing towards law enforcement that shot this young person.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Absentee ballots without a witness address or signature will keep getting thrown out in Wisconsin after a federal judge's ruling this week. The left-leaning Elias Law Group says the rule disenfranchises eligible voters. But federal judge James Peterson rules that no one's ever made the case that the witness requirement was against the law. Environmentalists are in court fighting the Department of Natural Resources over a big factory farm in central Wisconsin. Adam Voskill is with Midwest Environmental Advocates. He says the DNR should have allowed public input on the CAFO's wastewater permit.
We're seeing concerns over CAFOs in western Wisconsin, too, where there have been significant spills and fish kills.
The DNR has 1 month to respond. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Utilities looking to finish building a high-voltage power line linking Iowa and Wisconsin have completed a contentious land deal, allowing them to cross a Mississippi River Federal Wildlife Refuge. The last mile of the line would cross the Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge near Cassville. Conservation groups sued in March to stop the crossing, saying ITC Midwest and Dairyland Power Cooperative improperly reached a deal with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The agreement calls for the utilities to transfer land to the refuge in exchange for using current refuge land for the line. The case is pending, but ITC Midwest spokesperson Rod Pritchard said the land deal closed Thursday. A popular Midwest grocery store chain is announcing price reductions to help its customers combat inflation. Aldi officials say their stores will pass along $100 million in savings by dropping its prices on over 250 items through Labor Day. Officials say they'll save their customers nearly twice as much money as the $60 million saved from when they reduced their prices last year.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Apes will be invading the movie theaters this weekend. The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes opens as summer blockbuster season picks up steam. The movie is pulling in 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. According to Rotten Tomatoes, critics say this installment of the franchise has visual effects similar to Avatar, excellent performances, and top-notch action, even if it falls just a bit short of the previous Planet of the Apes films. If you're looking to laugh, check out the spoof comedy starring Jamie Foxx called Not Another Church Movie. I must have missed all the previous ones. The film has not been shown to critics yet, so it's a dice roll. Music fans of the band Chicago might want to check out Chicago and Friends, which also has not been reviewed yet. Opening in limited release is the film We Grown Now, which is pulling mid-90s on Rotten Tomatoes and follows two kids in a coming-of-age story set in a Chicago housing project in the early 90s. Have a great weekend at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms tonight, mostly clear, a little breezy, lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, sunshine's back, nice day, high in the low 70s. Sunshine to start Sunday, then increasing clouds for the afternoon, chance of storms late. Highs all the way up to the low 80s. Right now, it's 70 degrees.
Protection for them today, money back for you tomorrow. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. Consider a return of premium life insurance policy from State Farm. This affordable coverage offers level premiums for the entire policy term, the ability to build cash value, and the flexibility to convert to a permanent policy later. And it returns all policy premiums paid if you survive to the end of the term period. Let me explain how the State Farm return of premium can help your family. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball from WRCE Radio is sponsored by Jones Chevrolet Buick, A&W Restaurant, Badgerland Flooring, Clary Memorial Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Meister Log and Lumber Company, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Bailey Paint and Decorating, Papa's Trading Post, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Electric Cooperative, Schmidt Woodland Hills, The Shoebox, Walsh's Ace, McFarland's Manufacturing, All-American Do-It Center, and Goplin Insurance.
Hello, everyone. Brian from Walsh's. Right now, we are having a deal on two of our most popular steel chain.
Crude and Dom.
Dominic is in Europe on the holiday road, but you can hear some of the greatest radio shows ever in his absence. Tune in all week long.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm not a
Protection for them today, money back for you tomorrow. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. Consider a return of premium life insurance policy from State Farm. This affordable coverage offers level premiums for the entire policy term, the ability to build cash value, and the flexibility to convert to a permanent policy later. And it returns all policy premiums paid if you survive to the end of the term period. Let me explain how the State Farm return of premium can help your family. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.